This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الأخوة فنسأل الله تعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Praise be to Allah. We praise Allah, glorify Him, seek His forgiveness, guidance, and His mercy. As we praise Him, we ask for His forgiveness, and we ask for His mercy. We ask Allah to accept our efforts and our deeds, good deeds, and forgive us our sins. And we yearn before Allah, we earnestly ask Him to give us useful understanding and knowledge which is beneficial and give us wide sustenance. On Him we are utterly dependent and to Him is our return. Glory be to Him. We send peace and prayers of Allah upon His final messenger Muhammad. Let us carry on, and as if to remind us that we are dealing with Imam al-Nawawi's Al-Arba'een fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawaid al-Ahkam. That's his book, the 40, meaning 40 hadith, to do with the foundations of Islam and the rules to do with Islamic legal injunctions. This is what, on the basis of, he chose these 42 hadith. That's the title of his book. People call it, for shorthand, if you remember, Al-Arba'een al-Nawawi, or Nawawi, the 40 hadith of Nawawi. But his title of his book, if you remember, is the full title, Al-Arba'een fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawaid al-Ahkam. So in that, we're on hadith number 2. And as if not to lose the real sight from the wood and the forest, we just need to repeat the hadith to remind ourselves what we're dealing with as we've gone into some detail with it. The beginning of it, you know, I've explained it a few times, just to remind ourselves the question that was asked by Jibreel to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he began by asking, and depends on the version, but the version that we're dealing with in Nawawi's, he asked about Akhbirni about Islam first. Remember, with Abu Huraira it comes the other way around, he asks about Iman first, Islam, it's all the same. So he says, Ya Muhammad, Akhbirni anil Islam. Oh Muhammad, tell me about Islam. Faqal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Al-Islam an tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa tuqima as-salah wa tu'ti az-zakah wa tasuma Ramadan wa tahujja al-bayt in istata'ta ilayhi sabila. The Messenger of Allah, he said, Islam is that you declare there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, that you establish the salah, that you pay the zakah, that you fast in Ramadan, and that you perform the Hajj to the house, if you are able to do so in his way. Qala sadaqt, he said, you have spoken rightly. Fa'ajibna lahu yas'aluhu wa yusaddiqu. And we found it strange that he asked him and then he was saying to him that you've spoken rightly. Qala, then he said, Jibreel Ya'ni. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. So tell me about Iman. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, أَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. So he said, Iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and to believe in Qadr, in fate, the good of it and the bad of it. And Qadr, we talked about the last couple of sessions, about this idea of Qadr in Islam, and people who had various opinions also. Qala sadaqt, he said again, you have spoken rightly. Qal fa'akhbirni an al-ihsan. So tell me about ihsan. Qal an ta'buda Allah ka'annaka tarah. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. It is to worship and serve Allah, to do His ibadah as though you see Him. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, even though you see Him not, for surely He sees you. For surely He sees you. Now this is the stage we've got to. And in our explanation of the hadith so far, we've covered whole array of topics from the various narrations of the hadith, from various sahaba who narrated it, from the same sahaba and different compilers, Bukhari, Muslim, Nasa'i, who narrated the ahadith, the likes of Abu Huraira, Ibn Abbas, and in this case the one in Nawawi, which is Ibn Umar, of course, reporting from the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, from his father. And we looked at some of the various wordings of it, some extra included and some lesser included, and the setting of this taking place. Then we looked at the whole issue of Iman and Islam and their various meanings and the difference amongst the fuqaha and ulama about the meaning of Iman, in fact, what it meant from the Salaf time till this day. And we elaborated on that. Together with that, we looked at the whole issue of Al-Qadr, or Qadr, fate, which was the issue when Ibn Umar is actually reporting the hadith, if you remember, because some people at the Tabi'in time had made it incorrect understanding and an issue which caused problems, taking away from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we looked at the issue of Qadr as well. And then we also moved on to the other issues to do with Iman. And last time we looked at, in fact, Iman linked with Kufr. The difference between Iman and Kufr. When the word Kufr is used, that it doesn't always mean in Ahadith and in the Quran, we gave evidence that it doesn't necessarily mean that one becomes a kafir, a disbeliever. Kufr can be, as one of the young brothers said, as some of the ulama said, there'll be kufr akbar, the greater kufr, which makes you a kafir, and kufr aswar, which doesn't take you out of the deen, but the term is used to show the seriousness of what you are not doing or what you are doing. Not doing tariq al-salah was the classic case we took of the one who doesn't pray out of laziness five times a day, whether they pray zero times a day or once a day, or three times a day, or four times a day, or two, they're all under the same category. They would be called Tarikus Salah. One who doesn't pray five times a day, only prays four times a day, is Tarikus Salah. That person who left the Salah. And that's the issue that we dealt with last time. And the hadith of Prophet saying, Faqad Kafir, that the person has done Kufr. And hence the ulama came to various conclusions as to how to deal with those. And if you remember, we summarized most of that last time. And we looked at also where the Prophet ﷺ used the word kufr for other issues as well. And the ulama are now showed their discrepancy. The same word kufr is used, but they did come with the conclusion of imprisoning such people or killing them, but they did for salah, which didn't make, they're not being fair. We can see where they're coming from. So we give the uzr to the ulama and the scholars from their time. You couldn't imagine a believer not praying five times a day. You're talking about, within the first 200 or 300 years, the sahaba and tabi'in, many of them had this idea that because from Sahaba time, the only people they saw that were reluctant even to pray, they prayed, but reluctant to pray, lazy to pray, were munafiqs. They were not real believers. So they couldn't imagine a real believer leaving Salah. Leaving Salah. So this is what it was built on. In theory, the idea of imprisoning and killing somebody leaving the Salah, saying they're kafir, in practice, it was never practiced. Which shows it was a theoretical idea from the scholars. Yeah. Written in theory of law. But in practice, we don't find it. Because it's impossible to put into practice. You'd be killing so many people or imprisoning so many people, as we said last time. So we have that issue. And kufr is, to use the word kufr, la yu'min has the same meaning. La yu'min. Yeah? That person doesn't believe. What does that mean? It's saying the opposite, the other side of the same coin. Yeah? Same coin. La yu'min means yakfur. Huwa yakfur. He doesn't believe means he's a disbeliever. Yeah? And the Prophet ﷺ used it in so many occasions, saying, La yu'min. La yu'min is a big thing to say, that he doesn't have iman or she doesn't have iman. What does that mean? Not having iman means having kufr. You can only have one or the other. So there are many hadith to do with that, actually, which I was deliberating on, that I didn't see other scholars mention these, but I deliberated. I thought, actually, it's the same thing. So we gave some examples last time of the Prophet ﷺ using that for to do with behavior. Yeah, to do with behavior. About loving one another. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you truly has iman until you love for your brother or what you love for yourself, for other people. Yeah? For example. So not otherwise it'd be kufr. Yeah? Of the Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi la yu'min, as I said, gave you last time in the summary, Wallahi la yu'min, three times. By Allah, and I'm swearing, taking oath Allah, by Allah, that this person does not have iman. SubhanAllah, what does that mean? It's like saying, Faqad kafir, he's done kufr. Yeah, same thing. And what did he say? Man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqah. From the one who the neighbor is not safe from his harm, his or her harm, all kinds of harm. Look at the strong statement here, right? But do we now say somebody who's bad to their neighbor, they've done kufr, so we imprison them? Sometimes you may need to, but do we kill them because it's kufr? No, you can't say that. It's the same kind of idea as is used in Salah. As used in Salah. Of course, Salah is a very serious thing. Don't get the idea I'm saying being easy on people who are not praying five times a day. We leave that judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I'm saying, nothing came in Quran and Sunnah as a punishment, a had, or a ta'zeer, really, to punish people who don't pray five times a day out of laziness. Out of laziness. That's my point here. Although it's a serious sin. Yeah, there are many serious sins. No punishment, worldly punishment comes. But there will be punishment in the hereafter. Yeah? And but we leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's not for us to decide. This is interesting that in one version, in Bukhari Muslim, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about the neighbor, he's saying, Wallahi la yu'min, by Allah, that person doesn't believe. Okay. In another version, in Muslim, La yadhulul jannata. مَنْ لَا يَأْمُنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقًا. That person will not enter paradise from whose the neighbor is not safe from his or her harm. Ah, so now people think, won't enter paradise, must be kafir. Yeah. Remember, some of the sects who deviated from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that was the argument. Yeah. They used those ahadith about, like, oh yes, don't kabair, become kafir. Yeah, because they're going into hellfire, look. Ah. Do fasik go into hellfire? Fisk is not kufr. Fisk means those who sin, who are believers and they sin. Believers who do sinning, can they end up in hellfire? Of course they can. Quran and Hadith are full of, this is about believers who are sinning. Yeah? Wallahi la yu'min, by Allah, that person doesn't believe being harmful. But Prophet said, nobody made that person into actually a kafir. But by Islamic standards, they are fasiq. It's a believer who's doing sin, terrible sin. So there are believers who believe in La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And will they be punished in hell? Of course they will be. Of course they will be. But we believe that eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them out. Or maybe before that, they may get the shafa'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his intercession. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself who takes, as hadith in Bukhari mentions, handfuls from hellfire, out of hell, but they've gone into hellfire already. Of someone who has an atom's degree of iman inside them, or a mustard degree of iman inside them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them out. But they're already in hellfire, you see. Yeah. They're believers we're talking about. Yeah. So there's no contradiction here when hadith mentions, instead of by Allah that person doesn't believe, it says that person won't enter paradise. Yeah. Again, it is the severity of the warning. That's not to say they will not enter paradise forever. Prophet ﷺ didn't say that. That's at the outset to let us know. So that just to summarize and finish off from what I'd mentioned before. Now we come to an interesting and beautiful topic, because the next question, Jibreel moves to something to do with depth and quality. Now, all of these are, interestingly, as we looked at Iman and Islam, we said Iman and Islam are used interchangeably, aren't they? Yeah. When they're on their own, Ibn Rajab says that beautifully, when they're used on their own, one covers the other. If it's Iman, it means Islam as well. Islam means Iman as well. When they come together, they differentiate it nicely. Sayyid Maududi rahimahullah, for example, he writes in his book Islamic Values, Dynamic Value, Power and Change. Islam, the introduction to that is very long and done by Khurram Murad. I read it and studied it a few times, many years ago. I was thinking about it the other day. He, in fact, shows Iman as a level of morality to do with, like, Iman's like a seed that's inside. But yet he gives examples of this seed giving its fruits, and he gives lots of examples, as we did, to show that Iman is not limited to just in the heart and the tongue. He actually, even though he comes from a Hanafi background, doesn't take absolutely that standing of Hanafi standing, which separated Iman quality-wise to taqwa. He actually, when he's giving evidence, he's talking about Iman and how it affects the behavior of a person, which fits with the major jumhur of ulama, as we said before, of the idea. But nevertheless, his idea, when he puts Islam there, he says that Iman is like a seed which will show its fruits. It's bound to show its fruits unless Iman is corrupt. Yeah. If the seed is itself faulty, diseased, Iman is diseased. Or if the ground is not fertile to look after the Iman, then good plant won't come out. Inevitably a good plant will come out, which is part of Iman, and he calls that Islam as well, the shoots and the fruits that it gives, Islam. Yeah. And then he moves to taqwa, and really, you know, he takes it at a different level. But really, taqwa is a part of Iman, isn't it? Taqwa is a quality of Iman. Taqwa is a quality of Iman. The Prophet is saying, "At-taqwa ha-huna wa yushiru ila sadrihi bi-thalatha marra." And he pointed to his breast and his heart three times. He said, "Taqwa is here. Iman is here." Yeah. But taqwa is a special quality. Yeah. As some ulama explain, and actually Sahaba, if you find in authentic saying, the conversation between Umar bin Khattab and Ubay bin Ka'b, when they're discussing and one asking the other about what is taqwa. Yeah? And Ubay bin Ka'b says to Umar bin Khattab, he says, how would you walk along a pathway that is surrounded and got thorns along it and surrounded by thorns? So Umar bin Khattab said, well, I would take up my robes and walk, tread carefully, so I don't get pulled or pricked by the thorns. says that is taqwa. I find that a beautiful description actually of taqwa. So taqwa is more to do with awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with iman, because it's belief in Allah, isn't it? So taqwa is linked with iman, but it focuses on a particular aspect of the quality of belief in Allah and the hereafter. And the hereafter, what aspect? Awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's going to take you to task on the Day of Judgment. So Yawm al-Akhir and belief in Allah come in taqwa, in quality sense, of an awe and fear that Allah's watching to stop you from doing bad. That is taqwa. Taqwa stops you and holds you back. Taqwa is holding back for the fear that you're going to answer for it on the Day of Judgment. So answering on the Day of Judgment, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are all to do with iman, isn't it? Yeah? And tu'mina billah wa malaikatihi wa rusulihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir. It's all linked. Yeah? So taqwa is that particular aspect. It is to do with iman, but it is a real awe, a feeling inside, taqwa hahuna, of quality. Now, it is not just, you know, I believe in Allah and the angel. It's quality. It's a feeling, a deep feeling of iman and a feeling of closeness to Allah and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa concentrates more on the fear and awe and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to take you to task, to stop you, because you don't want to go to His punishment and hellfire. So taqwa is more on that side. Yeah. But ihsan, and Sayyid Mawduri talks about ihsan as the fourth category. And in his book, he puts ihsan as like somebody doing something out of seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy, out of love. So ihsan seems to be more to do with, according to Sayyid Mawduri, going out of your way, going out of the way, doing good works. Not just holding back from doing bad things, which is taqwa. Now, positively trying to make good. Positively trying to do good. One is a passive holding back. Yeah. The other is a proactive doing of good. Which is actually a very good idea for what ihsan really is. Yeah. And for what purpose it is. Here, in this hadith, from Jibreel and the Prophet is given a new element to ihsan. Ihsan itself has a language meaning in Arabic. The Arabs already knew what ihsan meant. They already knew what ihsan, but here is a special thing being given to it, you see. So what does ihsan mean? Hasuna. Is to be good, to be better, to be nice, yeah, all those things. The thing itself is hasan, or hasuna is the verb. Yeah, that is to be good, to be nice. Yeah, so hasuna is the fi'l. Fi'l madi. Then we have, in its fourth form, ahsana, yuhsinu, in its mudhari form. Right? Fourth form. Second form, hassana, yuhassinu, has a meaning also that you make something good. Yeah? You make something good. You make something right. Ahsana, yuhsinu, also has similar meaning. You make something better. You make something good. Yeah? But it also inherently in that has the meaning of you, when you're doing good, you do it, you make something, excellent. Yeah? You do you do something with excellence. That is inherent in the meaning of not just doing good, but make it excellent. Yeah. So, that is inherent in the meaning of excellence or proficiency. And from it comes the masdar ihsan. So ihsan alaykum assalam is the masdar, which is excellence. Yeah. And the person doing is from there muhsin. And muhsan will be the one that good is done to. Okay? So muhsin and ihsan we're talking about is doing good, but really doing with excellence. Yeah. That is inbuilt in the meaning. As the language experts of the scholars of the past and present have said, that is understood by the Arabs when they use the word ahsana, yuhsinu, and ihsan. Okay? To do ihsan. But here, now, Jibreel asks, "Akhbirni an al-ihsan." Tell me about ihsan. You put the chairs. Is it all right with the camera there at the moment?
Yes.
Put them later. Put them at the back over there at the moment. Ahsana yuhsinu. So ihsan, he says, akhbirni anil ihsan. Tell me about ihsan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is adding something more to what the Arabs already knew in their language, what ihsan was. Yeah? Because around him is shirk. So the Arabs know what ihsan is, but he's adding something very special. And that is linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why he says, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. It is that you serve and worship Allah as though you see Him, and though you see Him not, truly He sees you. So now ihsan has got a special shar'i meaning. So your excellence and proficiency in doing anything to do, here it's, the Prophet started to use the word ta'bud. Some people, from scholars who did the sharh of this hadith, reduced it to, also when you do ibadah, your salah, you do your salah as though you are seeing Allah, and though you don't see Him, truly He sees you. Right? That can be, that's part of the meaning. But, to limit it to that meaning is incorrect. Incorrect. Yeah. Because excellence and proficiency, whether it's doing salah or any ibadah, fasting or hajj or umrah or giving some, however, for a believer, Allah is not only watching you when you're doing salah, is He? Because that's what the idea you would walk away with. Yeah, when I do my salah, I have to do it as though Allah is watching me. So when I walk away from the prayer mat, as many of us behave, it's as though Allah stopped watching you, now you're going to do whatever you want to do.
No.
Not true. So to limit the meaning, even though the word ibadah is being used by the Prophet ﷺ, and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah. But we know in Arabic, Quran and Sunnah, that abd, ma'bud, and ibadah has wide meaning. Yeah? Wide meaning. All of our behavior, actions, and doing good and stopping ourselves evil, all of that counts as ibadah. We are ibad. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And Allah is the same. And I have not created jinn and human beings except for worshipping and serving me, Allah is the same. But that doesn't mean that we stand in prayer all day and all night, do we? If Allah is saying, I haven't created you except for this, it would mean, if it meant salah only, ibadah, yeah, salah or fasting, that we'd have to fast and be in prayer all day and all night long. Because Allah is saying, I only created you for that purpose. That's obviously not the meaning. So ibadah in Islam has a wide meaning. Servitude means to follow the rules and regulations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you. So all of life. So in other words, what's added now is to do everything in from ritual worship to whatever we do of responsibility in our lives, which we're going to answer to Allah for, to do it with excellence, proficiency. Before, that's all it meant. But now with the hadith, it means to do it with excellent proficiency because Allah's watching you. And you're going to answer to Him. Okay? So look what, that this is what this hadith added to ihsan. Meaning of ihsan became al-ihsan. Yeah? Which specially linked it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll come back to that in a moment. Quran is already replete with the idea of ihsan, and doing good works and doing excellence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيءُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Surely those who believe and do good works, surely we will not let go to waste the rewards of those man ahsana amala, who amilu salihat, already mentioned good works. Now ahsana amala, ahsana is that form. Those who do excellence in their deeds, we won't let their good works go to waste. So now this ahsan is not just good work, it's doing with excellence good works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, used it in the Quran like that. In Surah 18, verse 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Al-Baqarah, بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Nay, but the one who submits their face, وَجْهَهُ, who submits their face, meaning before Allah, and وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, he is the one who is doing ihsan, excellence in good works. This person, the muhsin, for that person, fellow, is a reward with their Lord. And there'll be no fear and grief on such people. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Surely Allah is with those who have taqwa. And now He separates taqwa from, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. So taqwa is one aspect which I mentioned to you earlier. It's different from ihsan. And those who are muhsinun, they are in excellence in doing good works. Going out of their way to do good works, but not just good, but in the best way. That's what the muhsinun are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً, in Surah An-Nahl. For those who do ahsanu, is from that, plural of that. Those who do good deeds in excellence, in plural, for them, al-husna, is excellence in return, as reward. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى. So their reward is also similar. Husna, which is Jannah. Al-Husna. But because of the excellence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds something else. وَزِيَادَةً. وَزِيَادَةً. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in hadith in Sahih Muslim, this ziyada is what? رُؤْيَةُ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. This extra that Allah mentions is seeing the face of Allah on the Day of Judgment. So there's the reward of Jannah, but seeing the face of Allah is because of their ihsan. And look how that's linked with this hadith. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُمْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. That you worship and serve Allah, you live your life as though you see Allah. Though you see Him not. So the reward for the muhsin doing ihsan, actually they get to see Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Like you see the clear full moon, the Prophet ﷺ, another hadith. Yeah? Nothing stopping you, nothing harming you from seeing it. That's how you'll see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith says, you do it as though you see Allah, and though you don't see Him, you will do in the Day of Judgment from this other hadith. So ihsan and ziyada, as mentioned in hadith of Sahih Muslim, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is seeing the face of Allah in paradise. And whereas the opposite for those who are not Muslim. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. Nay, but they have this ra'an on their heart, which is a rust and a dust and a dirt which is covering their heart. Bal rana ala qulubihim, because of what they used to do. They had this ra'an, keep on doing bad and evil, and you become bad and evil. Your heart becomes crusted. You never then see the light because it's getting this covering on it, blackness on it, spot by spot by spot until it becomes hardened and iman doesn't enter it. About them, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In contrast to the muhsineen, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will see the face of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those, kalla innahum ar-rabbihim yawma idhil mahjubun. Nay, they are the ones who will be mahjub, hijab. Here hijab is used actually. Yeah, they will be screened off from their Lord on the Day of Judgment. Screened from seeing His face. Yeah? That means ignominy. It means dhilla, humiliation. It means hellfire. Yeah? So that's in contrast to the muhsineen who will see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll stop, pause here. We'll carry on after Salatul Asr. Inshallah. Carry on with the ihsan. It sounds such a beautiful principle, actually, and a value in Islam. It's one of the very foundational things which elevates a person to a different level. And because it's actually linked with this thing about link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can imagine what that does. Remove that link and it just becomes ordinary. So when you put the link there, which the Prophet ﷺ put this in this hadith, yeah, that makes takes a believer can take him to a different level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, as a principle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun." Famous verse, which we often mention in Jummah Khutbah at the end. Surely Allah has ordered, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl, has ordered justice. Justice, equality. Yeah. Justice, equality. But what comes after that? Well, ihsan. See, ihsan, there's justice, but ihsan goes beyond justice. There's justice. Evenness, yeah. Even hand. There's justice and equality. But ihsan, added after adl, it takes you to a different level. It takes you beyond justice. Justice is amazing, isn't it? Everybody wants justice. But ihsan is over and above justice. Not under it, not equal to it, but above it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, He says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah SWT in Surah 42, verse 40, Allah SWT says, and the recompense or reward for a bad or evil deed is evil recompense in equal to that. Yeah? Bad for a bad. Yeah? Equivalent. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. A bad equal to it. That's justice, isn't it? Yeah? That's justice. What does Allah SWT say after? فَمَنْ أَعْفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. However, the one who overlooks. beyond justice. The one who overlooks meanings, forgive, wa aslaha, and makes amends instead, despite wrong being done to them. فَمَنْ أَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then that person rewarded with Allah. الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Linking with Allah, isn't it? As though you see Allah, though you see Him not, He sees you. فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So the reward, in other words, the person is doing this afa and also sulh or aslaha, islah, making amends instead. When somebody's wronged them and done wrong, they're doing amends instead and overlooking the wrong that's done to them. Whereas justice would allow them to give in return the same. Somebody says, I don't want to speak to you. You say, well, I don't want to speak to you. End of story. Is that just? It is, isn't it? But then somebody says, beyond that, no, I'm still going to try and speak to you. And I forgive you for being nasty with me. That's afa wa aslaha. Fa'ajruhu ala Allah. That's ihsan, brothers. That's ihsan. That is ihsan. Fa'ajruhu ala Allah. Innahu la yuhibbu al-zalimin. Surely Allah, He doesn't love those who are wrongdoers. Wrongdoers, meaning the one who's doing wrong, don't think they're getting away with it because you're being good in return. That's why that part's there. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. So don't ever think that the wrongdoer, because you've done afa, overlooked, and you made amends and tried to be good, don't think the wrongdoer is getting away with it. That's why the verse ends with إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. He doesn't love those who are doing wrong. Nevertheless, they're still going to answer to Allah, and your reward has been increased and multiplied. Subhanallah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْحِسَانِ. This is ihsan. Subhanallah. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah 42 again, Surah Hamim Sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Surely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the good is not equal to bad. Good things and good deeds are not equal to bad deeds. They're not the same. لا تستوي ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن هي أحسن. So return a bad turn with a good turn. Return a bad deed with a good deed. And Allah SWT is using the word, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. أحسن. Yeah. Ahsan here is a format which is tafdili, they say, which is best and better than what they're doing. Return a bad turn with a good turn, as they say in English language. Yeah. That is ahsan. Idfa' billati hi ahsan. That is beyond justice. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. So that if you return a bad with a good turn, then perhaps the one between whom you and him or her was enmity, adawatun, will become كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ, will become a bosom friend. How often has that happened with people who have the sabr and the ihsan to return, bad behavior with actually good behavior, ihsan, and the person who's doing the bad actually becomes shocked. Isn't it? You can melt the heart of an evil person. Not always happen, but it can. And they actually become very best friends. And because they've learned a lesson from you, actually, and realize that actually this person's not bad. It's me who's bad. Yeah. From Allah, whoever Allah guides. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, here, this is ihsan. This is ihsan. Ihsan, brothers, even on the battlefield is ihsan. Even in battle, even in warfare, ihsan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in regards to warfare, He mentions in the ayah at the end of Surah An-Nahl, Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what does it say? وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَآقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. And if you punish, yeah, in return, then punish and punish them with similar level of how they harmed you. بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ, at the same level from what they harmed you with. Yeah. So if it's one strap, then the same strap in return in warfare should be of the same level, not more. Because that's adl, isn't it? That's justice. فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. Look, but Allah doesn't end the verse there. He says, وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ. However, if you are patient and endure patiently for what they've harmed you with, in other words, don't respond back with harm, even in warfare situation. They've harmed you, yeah? So if you have another opportunity for a battle to destroy them, maybe you make amends and try and make peace instead. Prophet ﷺ never liked warfare. He would try everything to try and avoid it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why it's rahmatul lil alameen. We Muslims need to understand that before non-Muslims understand it. فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. Then that will be good for those who have endurance and patience to withstand the harm of the others. Allah SWT then says,
وَاصْبِرُوا وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ.
So be patient and steadfast, endure, control, sabr, ihsan. Sabr is part of ihsan, having sabr. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ, and your patient endurance is only with Allah. It's back to that ihsan again, linking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll only be able to do it, that level of patience, with Allah's link with Allah. Illa billah. Wala tahzan alayhim. And don't grieve over them.
Wala taku fi dayqin mimma yamkurun.
Don't grieve over them. And don't be worried. Yeah? Don't worry yourself of what they are plotting. So don't think, I'm not going to be patient. Look, they're plotting against it all the time. So Allah is saying, don't you worry over what they're plotting. You have the sabr. You have the higher position of endurance and patience. This is in warfare, brothers. And then Allah SWT says,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ
Surah. And the end after all this, what's Allah SWT say? Surely Allah is with those who have taqwa. Taqwa. Yeah? And those who are muhsinoon. These are the ones who are muhsinoon. The ones who are being sabr and control despite harm being done to them. Allah SWT uses the word muhsinoon at the end.
Sorry,
but
is that muhsinoon
spelled? Muhsinoon.
You just
in English?
Yeah, if you don't mind. So,
M-O-H. Yeah. M-U-H, you can put Sam's Muhsinun. From Ihsan. From Ihsan. Muhsin. And Muhsinun is a plural of Muhsin. Yeah. Those who are Muhsinun. So Allah SWT, beautiful verses to do with Ihsan. And a very overarching principle in Islam, even beyond justice, is Ihsan. Ihsan is a different level. And it's there in that ayah as a principle. And we repeat it and we mention it, yeah, as it become habit. It's not part of sunnah that you have to mention it in Jummah khutbah, but the end of it, many khatibs mention it, and the people are listening, majority, don't give any attention to what's being said. Certainly the non-Arab speaking ones don't even know what's being said unless you translate it. And unfortunately, even Arab-speaking one, it probably goes, well, most of us, in one ear out the other, even if we're listening to it, what actually it's saying. Yeah. That's a reminder for the gathering to what they should be behaving like. Just, but actually beyond justice. Be mohsineen. Yeah? Be mohsineen. So in this, when the Prophet ﷺ says these words, that and ta'bud Allah, I've dealt with ibadah, the idea is the whole of your life, ka'annaka tara, as though you see him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ, and even though you don't see him. This is a statement of the Prophet ﷺ still. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاهُ, for surely he sees you. Ulama various had various interpretations. Ibn Rajab, who did the tashrih of the Arba'een of Nawawi, as we said before many times in his Jami' al Ulum wal Hikam, fi sharhi 50 hadithan min Jawami al Kalim. That's his title of his book. He made 50 hadith. He took the 40 out of An-Nawwi and added more, and made 50, remember. Ibn Rajab, he and Ibn Hajar take the same position. They're saying that there's two levels of muhsin. What's the two levels? They say one is who takes the first part, so they give two aspects to this ihsan from the Prophet ﷺ statement, Ibn Hajar and Ibn Rajab. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. They were not far from each other in time. So they say one is a higher level, which is that the muhsin imagines in their heart that they're actually seeing Allah. Yeah, they said this is called al-mushahada, from shahada, witness. Al-mushahada. This is a higher level. So they say, nevertheless, of course we're not saying that the believer, the muhsin here, can actually see Allah, either certainly not with the eyes, and not even in the heart they can't see Allah. But they imagine that he's present and they feel it inside them. They said this is a higher level. And then they do their deeds and life as though Allah is watching. As though they are seeing Allah here, although they don't say see, because they qualify that and say, of course they can't say you can see him, because the Prophet ﷺ is saying, though you see him not, how can they say you can see him? All right. So they get round it and they say, they divide the comment into two aspects. The first part, because the Prophet ﷺ said, as though you see him. So they say, well, that's a higher level. That's the first stage. And for the one who's unable to do that, it's a slightly lower level of ihsan. Then that is the person who imagines in their heart inside that Allah is watching them. So they call that al-muraqabah instead of al-mushahada. Muraqabah from raqib, from raqibah, the one who is watching. Yeah, al-muraqabah, that one is being watched. That is their position on that. In fact, they go to clarify and they criticize, in fact, some of the Sufi sects, so I don't say Sufis full stop, some of the Sufi sects, which they, in fact, Ibn Rajab and others like the many of the scholars were from very spiritual and from a tasawwuf background. Ibn Rajab's teacher is Ibn al-Qayyim, and his teacher Ibn Taymiyyah. They were into tasawwuf, they're known as Sufis. So they criticize the Sufis who claim, they say, that they can see Allah with their heart. They say they are liars. And that they can see Allah with their heart all the time. They are liars. They're saying the ones who say that have put themselves in a higher position than the Prophet ﷺ. Because for the Prophet ﷺ, when he went up to the Mi'raj, and the ayah was revealed to him going to the Mi'raj, one of the interpretations of some of the Sahaba, and there's difference of opinion, like Ibn Abbas, for example, was that the Prophet saw Allah. Majority said he saw Jibreel being suspended in the Mi'raj from Surah An-Najm. But Ibn Abbas's opinion was that he saw Allah with his heart, not with the eyes. Because that's not possible in this world. So that's for the Prophet ﷺ, only in the Mi'raj. So now he's saying, they say, some Sufis claim they can see Allah with their heart all the time, so they're putting themselves in a higher position than the Prophet ﷺ. He only did that when he went up in Mi'raj. So this is false, and they are liars. Okay? So despite them saying that, they're making it very clear that it is not even sighting or imagining that you are seeing Allah. It's a feeling of His presence more. That's how they describe it. And Nawawi and others went down the other road. And I prefer that road because I believe in this interpretation, this contradiction really. They said the statement is the same. The second statement qualifies the first statement, for that part of the statement. So when the Prophet ﷺ says, "And ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tara," that you worship and serve Allah as though you see Him, but though you see Him not, truly He sees you. So the statement really is, truly He sees you. Because the middle part tells you you can't see Him. Middle part's telling you, and the last part's qualifying what the Prophet ﷺ really means. That's Nawawi's position, and a position of others, and I believe that's the best interpretation of this comment. That you feel as though Allah is watching, observing you. It fits more, doesn't it? Because however you try and say it, you know, if you're going to accept the first part of the statement, that as though you see Allah, then now you're playing games with that and saying, no, it's not to see Him, it is a feeling in the heart. Well, you've gone away from the language meaning. It's saying, "And ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarahu," that as though you see Him. But now you're saying, no, it doesn't mean that. It means you feel in the heart. Well, then Prophet's telling you himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Wa illam takun tarahu," even though you can't see Him, He's saying for a fact you can't see Him. Surely He sees you. So I believe that's the best understanding of that statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clarified by himself, really, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nawawi has that opinion for that it's really the second part qualifies the first part. And this presence and feeling of Allah subhanahu wa taala, it fits with the Quran anyway. Yeah, it brings us back to that ihsan linking with the qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many ayat and hadith bring this qurb out, this feeling of closeness to Allah. This feeling of closeness is to do with, you know, Allah's watching me. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ," He is with you wherever you are, for surely, and Allah is seeing completely, absolutely seeing everything that you do. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Basir, He's seeing everything you do. Yeah. Muraqabah. Yeah. Wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. Oh, wa huwa aqrabu ilayhi min hablil warid. Same idea. This is ihsan, that having that feeling. Yeah, the quality of ihsan comes from this closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which this hadith is bringing out as well, and the Quran already brings it out. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. Indeed, we are the ones who created the human beings, and we know what whispers his soul gives inside. تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبَلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to him or her than the jugular vessels here. We are closer. So that's the idea that Allah, know that surely He sees you. In the hadith, that's the idea. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah SWT says in the Quran, مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. There isn't anything done privately in secret of three people, إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ, that He is the fourth, except that He is the fourth, Allah. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, except He is the fourth. Or, وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ, in the Quran of Allah is saying. Or, five people sitting privately in secret, except He is the sixth, glory be to Him. Yeah? وَلَا أَدْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ, or less than that number. وَلَا أَكْثَرٍ, or more than that number, illa huwa ma'ahum aynama kanu, except that he is with them wherever they are and they may be. That's the detailed, more detailed explanation of wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. He is with you. Yeah? He is with you all wherever you are. As Allah SWT says in Surah Mujadala, verse 7 that was. Then Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, and we'll finish with that today. In one hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hadith mentions that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finds in the direction of the Qibla, so it's in the masjid obviously, from the context it tells you it's in the masjid, although the hadith doesn't say it. He finds in the direction of the Qibla some sputum. Yeah, and he displeased with the sputum in the direction of the Qibla. It seems somebody's been praying and they spat in front of them in the direction of the Qibla. So the Prophet has some displeased with that. And what does he do? He uses his blessed hand. You show me which arrogant leader would ever do that. He removes the sputum. It's somebody else's sputum. It's not his. With his blessed hand, he removes it from the direction of the Qibla. Wipes it away. This is in Bukhari, brothers. This hadith. This is the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His truthfulness. Show me a false prophet who's going to behave like that. So he removes it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, after removing it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he says, "Inna ahadakum idha qama yusalli fa innama yunaji rabbah wa inna rabbahu baynahu wa bayna al-qibla." He says, surely when one of you stands in salah and you call on, and he or she calls on to his Lord privately in salah, that's what you're doing. And the Prophet said, for surely his Lord is between him or her and the qibla. This is Qurb. Surely his Lord or is between, when he's in Salah, between him and the Qibla, right in front. Yeah. So when one of you needs to spit, yeah, do not spit in the direction of the Qibla. This is ihtiram in Salah. Etiquette. If you need to spit, the Prophet ﷺ said, then spit on your left, as long as nobody's standing next to you, because otherwise you're going to spit on them. if it's Salatul Jama'ah, of course it doesn't mean that then, does it? Yeah. If you're praying on your own, it means you can spit on your left. Notice also it means you can spit in Salah. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. So if you need to spit in Salah, he's talking about Salah. If you need to spit, then spit on the left or spit under his foot. And remember what it was made of, mosque. Of course, we can't apply it to the mosque today with carpets in them. This was sand and pebbles. Yeah, or wherever you're praying. Now you can't say, oh, I look at the hadith, he's allowing me to spit in salah, and even though I'm on a carpet now, and go like that. This is the misinterpretation, misapplication of hadith with somebody who's ignorant. True? Give me no context. But nevertheless, can you spit in salah? If I'm out there on the grass or something, showing you that you can actually, but not at the front. It is bad etiquette, the Prophet ﷺ is saying. So spit on the left or under the foot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he said. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, then what did he do? Then he took a part of his cloak, this is hadith in Bukhari. Took a part of, end part of his cloak and he spat in it. Salam. Shaykh, enlighten us. So he spat on a corner of his cloak and rolled it up. Oh, he said, do this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or do this. So this hadith came in a context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness, yeah, and etiquette. And there are many hadith and Quranic verses to closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't there? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slaves ask about me, surely I am really near. Yeah. And this is all about Ihsan linked with that. Yeah. So ihsan is, we haven't finished with it, we'll come with some other aspect and detail to it when we do another hadith to do with ihsan much later from the Arba'in. But ihsan in essence here is now being linked, not before in Arabic language, but with the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, linked with closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with being efficient and doing better and doing good works and in excellence, whether in ibadah or dealing with people or in commerce or in character, akhlaq, yeah, excellence as though Allah is watching you. So if I'm about to do something, you see, this is where it comes in. Now I feel Allah's watching me, how am I going to do it compared to when I don't think of that? It's like when we, you know, well, I mean, let's take a driving test, for example. When I'm driving and the driving instructor's not next to me, how do we drive? Now put the driving instructor next to us, what do we do? We're two different ball games. Now we're talking about not difference between a driving instructor, we're talking about Allah, who we're going to stand on the Day of Judgment. Yeah? So you see what ihsan really is, its essence. Yeah? It's beautiful, it is. And all that's hidden in that little comment there. That we just skim over. Next time, inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq, next week we'll try and complete the hadith, which now looks at asking about the hour or the time, yeah, and some of its signs, etc. Bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. My plan is to do next week, and then because lots of people are starting to go on holiday after that, it will be a summer break, I'm afraid, from the middle of July. And August we won't have any, but we'll start in September, inshallah.
Can I just ask a question from the statement? I think you've answered half of it. You enlightened me slightly on it. Dr. Omar Abdallah, he did a lecture called What is Sufism? Okay, and he differentiates between the true Sufism and the false.
Yes.
And he makes a statement saying that true Sufism is the science of Islam. What do you think about that
statement? Yeah, that is it, isn't it?
What you've described.
That is what it is, indeed. Yeah. He's right. Because it's a reality. It's awakening that closeness. Anything, the tariqas of the Sufis, etc., if they're on within the Sharia, majority of Sufis are. There are sects who went out in the past and present. The majority who are following the way of Rasulullah, then their purpose, objectivity, through the tariqas and the ibadat they do and akhlaq and their character and morals that they're doing, that their teacher's telling them, is for what purpose? To bring them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is ihsan, in essence as well, isn't it? Part of it is ihsan. But ihsan is more than just bringing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ihsan is not just an ibadah, it actually goes beyond Sufism. It goes beyond Sufism. Because ihsan is to, it covers somebody, a doctor at work, a road sweeper, a bin person, right? People who are active and busy in reforming and doing good in life, whether in politics or whether in social society or whether in the environment, in anything I do, raising my children, my behavior with my parents, my behavior with my neighbors, requires ihsan. So ihsan is much wider, actually. Barakallahu fikum.
Jazakallah khair.